Thank you, Jen. Thanks, Max. Thanks, Lily the Lamb. We're continuing our series this morning on the life of Joseph. And as we do that, I just wanted to give you a little of a recap on a preview of what's coming up. So if you guys could bump up that next slide that just gives that preview. Last week we talked about sibling rivalry, it's not always good, but when it goes bad. Then this week, the family secret. Next week, we'll talk about enlarging your soul through grief and loss. And we'll kind of take a break from looking directly at Joseph and look at Joseph and his dad and his brothers as we do that. And then on the 28th, it will be all about addressing adversity. And then we'll take 2 weeks where we kind of take a hiatus. You heard about the Holmans coming, and you're going to want to be here for that. It's going to be a great day with them. And then Don't Fear Part 2 is Keith Blank. Bishop Keith is coming to speak to us. And then we'll finish out the series with Longing for Belonging and Healing Your Family Tree. So last week we talked about sibling rivalry, and we learned relational lesson number one. Which is when families play favorites, it breeds immaturity, envy, and rivalry. But when families bless each member as handcrafted by God, God's goodness flows in a family. So we're going to talk today about keeping secrets. And I want to ask you this question to begin with. How long are you able to keep a secret? Somebody tells you a secret, how long can you kind of keep it inside till you kind of ebbs out with somebody else, or you inadvertently share it, or you find yourself sharing some part of it, or you find this pressure inside of you to maybe just, you know, share it as a prayer request, right? How long can you hold a secret inside of you? You know, most studies have shown that most people can't hold a secret for more than 48 hours before they share it with somebody else in some way, to some extent. 48 hours. But if you think about it, family secrets are a little bit different, aren't they? They last a little bit longer. They sink in a little bit deeper. We usually use this term in our mind or out loud. We say, we don't talk about that, right? Have any of that in your family where we don't talk about that? Now, I want to show you a secret that I had a hard time keeping when I was in second grade. This is Exhibit A. Exhibit A is a knife that I bought in second grade at Seldom Seen Valley Coal Mine. Have any of you been to Seldom Seen Valley Coal Mine in St. Boniface, Pennsylvania on a field trip? Never been there? Well, if you went to the Juniata Terrace Elementary School when you were in second grade, you got to go to Seldom Seen Valley Coal Mine. And my friend Jimmy and I, we had a plan. For some reason, our parents knew, and they told us, do not buy a pocket knife or a knife at the store when you go there. Now, so we, of course, did. We saved up our money. We devised a plan. We both bought these pocket knives, and we returned home with them. Which brings up another question. What was the people in the gift store selling pocket knives to second graders? They wouldn't even be allowed to be on the shelf, right, now? So we bought our pocket knives. We brought them home. And so that you wouldn't know that they were ours, we actually painted our names on the pocket knife. There was a scabbard that came with the pocket knife, and we painted our name on that. And we like to wear that scabbard on our belt, but we had to hide it, you know, back away or stick it in our pocket or whatever. It didn't take more than 4 or 5 days before this pocket knife, Exhibit A, was taken away from me by my parents. And my dad said, someday you will have a pocket knife, but it will be a proper Barlow pocket knife. And until I give that to you, I'm going to take this knife from you. So I had that secret. I kept it for a little bit. But when you have a secret, it's hard to keep it, isn't it? And I'm amazed at how long the brothers of Joseph could keep this secret from their father. And there's a couple of things we're going to learn by looking into this story about what happens when we harbor, when we keep inside of us a family secret. First thing that happens is when we keep a secret like that inside of us, people are divided. People are divided. Genesis 37, 26 through 28 says, Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain by killing our brother? We'd have to cover up that crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. After all, he's our brother, our own flesh and blood, and the brothers agreed to that. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came and Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern, they sold him for 20 pieces of silver, and the traders took him to Egypt. So they struggle with their decision about what to do with him, and they only see two options. This often happens in families where there is strife, where we're having a hard time getting along. We only see the option of when somebody is difficult for us to get along with and we're difficult for them to get along with, is doing something called cutoff. And cutoff. Both of their decisions here, either to kill him would cut him off, or to sell him off is going to cut him off from the family. And they don't realize, and they will be cut off from him. They kind of realize that to some extent, but they don't realize the extent of the danger of being cut off from their brother, even though he was a half-brother, for that many years. And so instead of killing him, they engage in human trafficking, right? Isn't it amazing that we still have human trafficking going on to this day? And it was going on in those days. And so they sell him off as a slave, and they sell him off for 20 pieces of silver. They never look into a third option, do they? The third option in a family is the longer road. It takes a little bit longer to do that. It's working things out. It's working through things. It's learning to navigate and negotiate. But we can see from the brothers and their other actions in the story that we even talked about last week, they never seem to pick the third road or the third option. They always seem to be engaged in some sort of cutoff. This third option calls for a lifestyle of forgiveness. It calls for working it through. It calls for understanding. It calls for listening to somebody who might be hard to get along with. I mean, Joseph, in some ways, was hard for them to get along with because he's constantly talking about his dreams. He seems to be flaunting his coat of many colors and the fact that he's the favored son. And so they just want him away. They want to get rid of the dreamer. They don't want the dreamer around. We'll see later on in the story that his dream matures, and they will sure want the dreamer around later on. But at that time, they didn't. They just wanted this cut off. This third road is this pathway of blessing that we've been talking about, okay? And blessing is what? Beginning with prayer, listening to each other well, eating together, serving in love, and sharing our story. So we've been talking about that whole bless thing. Bless isn't something we just do for those people out there who are outside the church to bless them and let them know of God's goodness. Bless is something we do in here, and we do with our families. But sometimes with families, they won't let you bless them, right? Maybe they won't eat together with you, or they won't let you listen to them well. Or they won't allow you to share your story, or you try to serve in love. But there's still some things that you can do with your family. There's still some elements of bless that you can do. Surely your family won't totally let you not bless them and engage with them. So it would have been important for them to come together and to begin to build a bridge with their brother. But they didn't do that. They just cut him off. And that's what happens in a family secret. In family secrets, we cut off family members for long periods of time, if not forever, because of the discomfort, the anxiety, the anxiousness between us. And so people get cut off for long periods of time, if not for a lifetime. They were still failing to see the third way. Even if you remember at the end of the story where Joseph forgives them and then his father dies, and then they're like, oh, he's not really forgiven us. We've had it. Like, they still are holding this inside. They can't see the third option. I just want you today to think about, there's a third option. There's a third option. Even with some of the people in your life that are the hardest to get along with, there's a third option with them. Don't just cut them off. Don't just push them away. Don't just push yourself away from them. There is and can be a third option. We have the choice to hide and divide, or we can choose the third road, this pathway of blessing. So here's a couple questions for you. I have these spread throughout the message this morning. First questions are this, and I just want to bring these up each time, just kind of give them to you. What does it feel like to operate in a divided family? What does it feel like to have to operate in a family that's divided and that has a family secret maybe that's dividing it? And then the second question, how do you navigate a family divide? What do you do with that? How do you live a life of blessing? How do you become a person of blessing in a family that doesn't seem to honor the blessings that you want to bring to it? Do you back off? Do you just cut off? Do you only see two options? Or do you see the third option? And are you willing to be a person of blessing in your family's life? Second point I want to talk about this morning. When families harbor secrets, people are devastated. People are devastated. Jacob tore his clothes and dressed himself in burlap. He mourned deeply for his son for a long time, it says in Genesis 37:34, when he gets this news, okay? And notice how they kind of are still getting him to jump to this conclusion. They don't come and say, hey, Dad, we were there. We saw Joseph is killed by a wild animal. They just bring his coat of many colors back, which was put on him, now is torn off of him, now is covered with blood and brought back to his father. Could this be your son's coat? Well, of course they know it's his coat. It was a specially made coat, specially made garment out of Babylonian type of textiles. And so they would have known that, but they're giving it to the father. They're letting him come to that conclusion, but they're baiting him in on that, of course, right? The Message translation says it this way, or paraphrase, says it this way. Jacob tore his clothes in grief, dressed in rough burlap. He mourned his son for a long, long time. His sons and his daughters tried to comfort him, but he refused their comfort. Listen to that. But he refused their comfort. And then this phrase, I'll go to the grave mourning my son. Oh, how his father wept for him. I'll go to the grave mourning my son. Let's say that out loud together. I'll go to the grave mourning my son. He was devastated. And when we're devastated because of a loss, we start to tell ourselves messages like, I'll never get over this. It'll never be the same. I'll never be able to recover from this loss, right? We start to tell ourselves that. Lots of things were torn here. We see Joseph's dream coat. It's torn off of him. It was put on him by his father, and it's torn away from him. Joseph is torn from his family, and his family is torn from him. There's a lot of tearing going on here. Jacob is torn so deeply that he tears off his own robe and puts on burlap, nestles that around his shoulders. Why was this so often the custom for grieving people? Why does it say so often in the Old Testament that somebody who was grieving took off their outer clothing, wrapped themselves in rough clothing that would have been used, yeah, like we know, for a potato sack or a grain sack or something like that? So he wraps himself in this grain sack, potato sack, and he's sitting on the ground and he's saying, it'll never be the same. I'll never recover. Why did people do that? People did that because they wanted to show on the outside how they were doing on the inside. Now, often in grief, we don't even take the time for that, right? We just kind of keep it moving. We got stuff to do. We're hardworking Mennonite folk, right? Just kind of buck up and go through and keep it going. Keeping secrets tear us up, and they keep us at times stuck in a grieving cycle that doesn't get resolved. And that is the pain of the secret keeping us in grief and recycling over and over again, where we're stuck and there doesn't seem to be a resolve for us in that. in his book, Healing Care, Healing Prayer, pastor and author Terry Wardle wrote these words: for every loss in life, there's a corresponding season of grieving. Our dilemma is that our culture doesn't even allow for moments of grieving, let alone whole seasons for it. So we compile and carry our losses inside until they seep out or erupt. And so there's no season for grief here. There's no son. And because it's a secret, his son is actually what? He's alive. But he believes that he's dead, was killed by a wild animal, and that all that he has left is the robe that he gave him stained in his blood. That's what he believes. And so he's stuck in this cycle of grieving. You know, we're going to talk about grief a little bit more next week and unpack that some of the things that are good and bad about grief, and the fact that our grief can, to some extent, be resolved, but sometimes we don't believe that. And how do we engage in a pathway where we let God attend and help us with our grief so that it can be resolved? But I just want to ask you a couple of questions here as we transition into point three. Do you ever sense emotions welling up in you and surprising you at times? It may be because you have some unresolved grief. When we have unresolved grief, we find ourselves, we're just kind of tooling along through the day, everything's going good, and all of a sudden something hits us. Now, there's nothing wrong with being in a process of grieving and having your emotions let you know what's going on with that. But if your emotions seem to be stirred and then go back down and you're not quite sure what to do with it, that's usually a sign of there's some unresolved grief that's recycling within you. Second question is this: what unresolved grief might God be compelling you to process at this time with his help? If that's happening to you, what unresolved grief might God be calling you or compelling you to take some time to resolve right now? Because God doesn't want you stuck on the hamster wheel of grief again and again and again. But that's what happens with family secret. When we can't get things straightened out and we hold on to that, we hold on to grief that just kind of goes on and on and on inside of us. Third thing I want to talk about this morning is when families harbor secrets, people lead double lives. People lead double lives. It says that the brothers killed this young goat. They dipped it, his robe in the blood. They sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message: look at what we found. Doesn't this robe belong to your son? Double lives. They kept this secret buried deep inside of themselves for a long time. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver, it says, which some people say, some authors say, 20 pieces of silver was the going rate for a young slave in that time. Other authors say this, Chuck Swindoll being one of them, says that 20 pieces of silver would have been for someone who was a defective person, someone who had some sort of physical handicap as a slave, so they couldn't really perform the full duties of a slave. And so his brothers may have even sold him off for less than his actual value as a slave. Isn't that wild? Just to get rid of him. I wonder, it doesn't tell us in the text of Scripture, what happened to the 20 pieces of silver? Right? We know what happened to Joel's pocket knife. It's right here. My dad, Leon, gave it back to me after a few weeks with a proper Barlow pocket knife, showing me how to whittle with it down at the farm, how to fold it up and keep it in your pocket, when to bring it along to the job, when to leave it home. Gave me all the little instructions about a pocket knife, right? Schooled me and how to use a pocket knife. What happened to that 20 pieces of silver? Did they hide it somewhere? Did it burn? Did they spend it off? Every time when they looked at it, did it bring up what they had done to their brother? Did they carry that with them? We know that later on when they recognize him, they're like, oh, we're toast. That's their first response. But sometimes we take that family secret and we bury it, right? We say, we don't talk about that. We don't grieve that. We don't deal with that. That happened. That's over and gone. But it is affecting us. And so these brothers are living this double life. When they're in front of their father, they have to remember how to act so surprised and grieving that, you know, Joseph is gone. But, you know, when they're around themselves, they can talk about the truth of really what happened, right? And so for years on end, they're living this duplicitous lifestyle. Family secrets move us into patterns where we can lead a double life or a double lifestyle. Covering up one thing, acting one way in front of some people, acting another way in front of some other people, usually is a sign that we're holding on to some secret inside of ourselves that we need to bring into the light of God. Double lives are hard to keep. They eventually wear you down and eventually catch up with you. How many of you have seen the movie Catch Me If You Can? Catch Me If You Can. In the movie, I just give you a quick synopsis of it, and you can look it up for yourself. It's Catch Me If You Can. I think he leads like four or five different lives in there, at least. And it's based on the true story of someone who poses as a pilot when he's not a pilot. He, you know. So, Marshall, it must not be that hard to fly those airplanes, evidently. I don't know. Yeah, it's getting there and push a couple buttons. It takes care of itself, right? Yeah, flies itself, yeah. But can you imagine the pressure that's on him? And as you watch the movie, you see all the pressure that comes around him because he's leading this double and triple. And, you know, he's got to be all these different people around it. You can't keep juggling that long, right? Your emotional arms and your mental arms get exhausted with juggling two different lives. Inside of you, you're exhausted because you can't resolve that secret that's hidden inside there. And either you choose not to talk about it, or others choose not to talk about it, and you kind of get worn down. I wonder how worn down the brothers were, and we'll see this later on in the story. How worn down were they by life and by that juggling when they meet their brother again? And he is wearing the commander's robe. And he is the one who gets to choose whether they eat or not. And he is the one that chooses whether the family lives on or the family lineage dies out. And so his dream, although it was immaturely portrayed to them, was true. Fortunately for them, his dream grew up inside of Joseph. And we'll see why when we get closer to the end of the story that we know. His dream grew up and was no longer about him. It was about him being a blessing. Somebody who prayed, someone who listened, someone who shared, someone who serves. He was blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing, and so are you. And the way you become a personal blessing is you bring anything that has been secret to you into the light of God. That's how you do it. Because the good news of the gospel is this: we don't need to be divided and devastated and lead double lives. The good news of the gospel is the gospel is a remedy for that. Let's read this next passage of scripture out loud together from John 1, verses 6 through 8. Let's read this out loud together. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Keep going. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we only deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So how do we get to true fellowship with Jesus and one another? By bringing it into the light. By bringing whatever secret that has been within yourself from your family, or it can just be a secret that you have kept, a secret that you have kept inside that's keeping you from walking in the light with God. Relational lesson number two is this: when family harbor secrets, people are divided, they're devastated, and they lead double lives. But when we walk in the light, Jesus purifies us, and we can experience relational renewal with God and with others. And it's all about bringing it into the light. I want to ask you a couple questions here. According to 1 John 1:6-8, what's the basis for this true fellowship with God and one another? Second question, is there anything from your family's past that you need to bring into God's light through prayer today? Is there anything you just need to hold up by prayer today? It could be something from your family. It could be something that you learned to hide early in life, or it could be somewhere where you're hiding and you feel stuck and you feel like you're leading this double life. And what you need to do is you need to lift up your hands to God in prayer this morning and just bring it to Him and begin to walk in His light. You need to tell Him what that is. You need to lift it up to Him by praying a prayer that maybe looks something like this together. Let's look at this prayer. The prayer goes like this. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to ask you to move into this activity of lifting up anything that you feel you need to bring into God's light this morning and bring it to Him, okay? The prayer goes like this. Lord, thanks for alerting us to the damaging effects of keeping secrets. We don't want to be divided, devastated, or be people who lead double lives. Jesus, we love your authenticity. We want to be like you. We bring our secrets into the light, asking you to purify us. Empower us to experience relational renewal with you and others. Now, I want you just to put your chin on your chest and close your eyes for just a moment, just to concentrate. And if something came up during the message this morning, during the worship this morning, something that you feel like, oh, that's buried within, I need to bring that into the light before God. I just need to tell Him, I need healing with this. I need help with this. I don't want to hold this anymore and have it hold me back. Then I want you just in this moment to open your hands before God, just in front of you on your lap. And then I want you to open your eyes and let's pray this prayer together. Lord, thanks for alerting us to the damaging effects of keeping secrets. Let's read this together. Lord, thanks for alerting us to the damaging effects of keeping secrets. We don't want to be divided, devastated, or lead double lives. Jesus, we love your authenticity. We want to be like you. We bring our secrets into your light, asking you to purify us, empower us to experience relational renewal with you and others. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone here this morning to be able to walk in the light as you are in the light, which is fully in the light, to have their sins purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can have a renewed relationship with you and with other people. And Lord, any time that they're tempted to go back into or to hold that secret, or that they just give it back to you and say, no, Jesus, I'm going to walk in the light. Give them the freedom that they need. Give them the newness of life that they need. Give them relational renewal that they need and we need. Lord, help all of us to be able to see the third option, to be people who are blessed to be a blessing, to give that blessing out each day, to give it out to our families, to give it out to our church family, to give it out to our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers, to be people of the blessing, Lord, in a time of cursing, in a time of dividing, in a time of putting people away and pitting people against each other. Help us to be the people of blessing. the people of blessing that live under your blessing and give it all away for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people say, amen.
It dawned on me as Pastor Joel was speaking that some of us have come from families that probably have a lot of secrets and have a lot of devastation and a lot of things that we've been brought up in and that we carry. While other of us have come from families that we don't have a lot of secrets. We don't have a lot of hardships, and it's been kind of smooth sailing and it's been good. And we've all kind of come with these differences. But I think no matter what family we've come from, what family we've been a part of as a family of mom and dad and brothers and sisters and all of that, we can use these same tactics in relationships anywhere. The difference is with a family that you've got that kind of blood tie. You're connected to them. And I think it's kind of similar with our church family, right? We've got that connection through Jesus, and we are all part of this church family. In this next hour, in between the 10:30 and 11:30 hour this morning, we have the opportunity to sit together and kind of talk as that church family, kind of reviewing some of the things that we're learning as we're going through this peak, the peak study, and learning about our church, about us. I've had the opportunity to be part of the peak team, and we've learned a lot about our history and maybe some of those things that have been devastating to one person or another, or historically might have caused division in our church, and trying to bring that through. And just like Pastor Joel was talking about, like, how do we grieve that? How do we recover from that? And how do we bring unity to our family so that we can continue to move on and continue to grow together? And so it's been a process. It's continuing to be a process as we kind of walk through that together. And I'm excited as we learn kind of, and as we share some of the things that we're learning through that process, as we get excited to continue to grow and figure out, where is God leading this church? Where is God leading Mount Joy Mennonite Church? And in what ways can we continue to walk with him in that? So I invite all of you to join us. These next step classes that are up there are not this week. They will be the ones that will continue next week. But we do have this special week this week of talking about peak, talking about our church and the growth that we are being part of. So I invite you to join us right in here at 10:30 to walk through that. Other things for this morning, we've got hot drinks getting ready for us in the lobby, so feel free to stick around, fellowship with each other, and then join us back in here at 10:30. We also have this thing called a red envelope fundraiser meal for the youth today. So the youth have been preparing the tables and everything early this morning. They're getting food ready for us. After the Next Steps Hour, we will have a meal together where we will get to share. And what happens with this red envelope thing, in case you've never been here, is there's a whole bunch of red envelopes there with the numbers 1 through 150 listed out there. And so the goal is that you take one of those numbers. If you are able, we would love to support the youth. And it's a suggested number that you can donate based on what that number is on that envelope. By no means do you have to meet that number. You can exceed it or go below it. There's no accountability. There's no reason why you can't give any number. Or if you don't have the finances today, we'd love for you just to stay around and hang out and enjoy the meal with us. But that is a fundraiser meal for the youth. The youth will be doing a local mission trip here in Lancaster City this year, but ongoing funds for them as they continue. And the meal is through Peter's Barbecue, so I'm sure it will be absolutely delicious. If you are leaving right after this service and can't stay for the Next Steps Hour and the full meal, they, I am told, have some to-go containers that they can send along with you that you can take with you. All right. So as we close the service this morning, I've been kind of reflecting as I was preparing for today on kind of what to leave you guys with. And oftentimes we say, go in peace, right? And I love that. Like, I love to think about being a peaceful person as I go throughout the week. But for some reason today, I was kind of reflecting on the stay. Why don't we stay together? Not always going, but staying and growing. But the word that came out to me is stay in joy. And Pastor Joel talked about this morning how we have some choices, right? Like, we can choose the other option. And oftentimes we choose to kind of dwell in the misery. We may choose to dwell in some other feelings that make us feel better for the time, but there's always that option of joy and finding joy in each and every moment. So I am encouraging you to stay in joy this week. And I'll leave you with the words of a song that I heard this morning. I was listening to some worship music.